Well, it's some years ago now that I heard a sermon by Philip Jensen entitled Motherhood, Apple Pie, and... And to that sermon, this sermon is highly indebted. Motherhood and apple pie go together like hand and glove. If you ever invite me over for dinner and serve up apple pie, you can rest assured I will go home a happy man. Any other apple pie lovers here? Yes, of course. Apple pie personifies all things good. And as such, it is a great symbol for motherhood. And as we reflect on motherhood on this Mother's Day, we know that there is much talk about how good mothers are. We think of the self-sacrifice down at the soccer field cheering on little Johnny, or down at the swimming pool in the wee hours of the morning so little Sandra can do her squads. Good old mum, always available and always cooking. And when she cooks, it's apple pie. That's right. And always staying up late until the teenage kids come home so she knows that they are safe. All of this is encapsulated in the old joke. How many mothers does it take to change a light bulb? None. Never you mind, dear. You just go out and play and I'll sit here in the dark. Yes, there is much talk of how wonderful motherhood is. And yet the reality is often very different from the talk. In reality, society treats mothers with little respect and even less support. Many mothers have to live with that dreadful phrase, "Oh, she's just a mother." Rather than honouring a mother's work and supporting them in the training, in the tiring and draining and extremely important role of raising the next generation, pressure is often brought to bear which says that they are not a significant human being if they don't contribute to society in another way. So the media often glamorises the child-free lifestyle or puts on a pedestal the career woman who somehow manages to cope with a high-pressured job and raising a family. Now, the Proverbs 31 woman was managing all that, and it's not to deride that, but so often there is little respect shown for a mother who chooses to devote herself wholly to motherhood. Oh, they're just a mother. In reality, despite such things as Mother's Day, motherhood generally is not being honoured. There is certainly a difference between how we speak and how we treat mothers. At another level too, we can see a difference from the talk and how some mothers in reality are. Because not all mothers are wonderful human beings. Not every mother that helps their child with homework is doing it for selfless reasons. Some can drive their children to achieve in a way that they didn't, to fulfil their hopes and aspirations with little concern for the child. Not every mother at the poolside or the edge of the football field is supporting their child. Many are driving them. And sadly, tragically, not every mother loves and nurtures their children in the way that they should. Some even abuse them or don't protect them when they are abused by others. And some of us might be wrestling with the failures of our very own mothers. Yes, there is a difference between the talk and how society treats mothers. And yes, there is also a difference between the talk and how it actually is in some families. But the idea of motherhood as apple pie, as something that is wonderful, continues. Why? Because there is a lot of truth in it, is there not? We know of the love and sacrifice and devotion and the heartache that generally goes with being a mother. Our mothers who put themselves out, yes, will sit in the dark while you go out and play. That mentality. And it is because of such actions of devotion and love and sacrifice that motherhood is up there with apple pie. And it is because of this apple pie status of motherhood that some people look for a figurehood for all of motherhood. Some, of course, want to project this onto Mary, that most famous of mothers, the mother of Jesus. Well, what can we say about her? What can we say about Mary? Well, firstly, she was a wonderful woman. And this is something that we can often forget in not wanting to project too much onto her, like the Roman Catholic Church does. But she was truly remarkable. When she received news that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she received the news with humility and faith. She committed herself to God's care. Now, we might not think such a response is any big deal until we think for a moment of the risk that she was under. She was at a very great risk of being divorced, for that is what Joseph thought he should do. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. She was at risk of being divorced and living in shame for the rest of her life. But not only that, she was at risk of being stoned to death. She would have been accused of adultery. And stoning is what they did to adulterers in those days. And yet for all that, she said, as we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, may it be to me as you have said. She had great faith in God and she trusted him. She entrusted herself to his purposes, even though she did not understand them, and it was at great risk to her. She was a wonderful, godly woman. And secondly, she was to have a wonderful experience. For in the birth of Jesus, she was the mother of God. In our reaction against certain treatments of Mary, that title might not sit comfortably with us, but nevertheless, it is true. For Jesus was God become flesh. Mary was the mother of a human who was also divine. Mary had the unique experience of being the mother of God. When the shepherds were told about the birth of Jesus, they were told by angels that the child born was the Christ, that he was to be a saviour, that he was the Lord. And when the shepherds came and told Mary, we are told that she treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Mary had God the Son living in her home and being obedient to her. Luke chapter 2, verse 51, Jesus went down to Nazareth and was obedient to his parents. Mary was in the crowds from time to time as he taught, and she was at the cross when he died. She was in the upper room when he appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. Yes, Mary most certainly had a wonderful experience. And perhaps because of this, Mary's place, unfortunately, has been wildly exaggerated. Exaggerated to such an extent that it does dishonour to the wonderful woman that she was. The apple pie status of motherhood has been projected onto Mary. Mary has been made into the woman who can do no wrong. She has been turned into the ultimate mother. The mother not just of Jesus, but of us all. She has been described as the mother of heaven and the mother of all mankind. But we must say that Mary wasn't the ultimate mother. She was just a mother. Yes, the mother of the Lord Jesus, but still a mother. She wasn't my mother and she wasn't your mother and she is not the mother of heaven. Some say that Mary was born without sin. But there's no evidence for that. She calls Jesus her saviour. She was in need of a saviour just like the rest of us. It is also said by some that she remained a virgin after Jesus was born. As if not to have sex in a married relationship is somehow a holy act. We know, though, that God intends that there be a regular sexual relationship between a husband and wife, and not to do so is a denial of how God created us. The scriptures also speak not only of Jesus having brothers and sisters, but some of them are even named. James, who wrote one of the letters, being one of them. It's also been said that she is the one that you should turn to and pray to. Others say that she has appeared in all kinds of shrines. All of this being projected onto Mary is contrary to what she would have wanted, because it leads to her taking the place that rightfully belongs to Jesus in our hearts. Millions of people around the world elevate Mary to a place that doesn't belong to her, but belongs to Jesus. Why? Because he alone was sinless. He alone is the one that we should pray to. He alone is the one who died on that cross so that we might be saved. No one else was good enough. Not Mary, and not anyone else. The danger, friends, of the apple pie status of motherhood is that we look upon Mary as a heavenly mother who will be all those things that earthly mothers are supposed to be and sometimes are. And that in this heavenly mother, that we look to her to take our requests to God. But this, make no mistake, has got nothing to do with the Bible. And certainly a godly woman like Mary would want nothing to do with it. This is misunderstanding motherhood, and it's misunderstanding Mary. There are two passages where Jesus directly speaks on this issue. Firstly, there is Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." The crowd here are expecting that Mary and the brothers of Jesus would have a priority in Jesus' mind. But Jesus says, no. His mother and brothers are not special. Rather, it is those who hear God's word and do it who are special. The second occasion is in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. Jesus was speaking to the crowds, and a woman in the crowd cried out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." The woman in the crowd thought that Mary's unique experience of motherhood would give her special blessing. But Jesus speaks of a much greater blessing, the hearing and the doing of the word of God. In both occasions, Jesus speaks of the priority of hearing God's word and doing it, of being obedient. The real family of Jesus are not the blood relatives, but those who hear his words and do them. Those who receive blessing are not necessarily the blood relatives, but again those who hear and do the word of God. You see, we are not to fall into the trap of putting family up on a pedestal, or someone like Mary, who was a member of a most incredible family. Because as great and wonderful as family life can be, that is what makes it such a danger. It becomes a good idol for the devil to work with. Because we know how good it can be, it is easy to make it the only good, to leave God out of the picture. As society downplays the role of family, in our reaction against it, we can start to emphasise its place to the extent that it can be pushed up into the position that should be taken by God himself. Because the really blessed person is not the one who has a great family. The really blessed person is not Mary as blessed as she was. Imagine her holding the baby Jesus in her hands. Imagine her holding the King of the universe in her arms. Yes, she was blessed. But if you think she had it good, remember those words of Jesus. The person who hears his words and puts them into practice has it infinitely better, for they are the ones who are truly blessed. Blessed is the woman who gave you birth and nursed you. No, says Jesus. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey them. Now ponder it, friends, for a moment. You will be more blessed than the Blessed Virgin Mary if you hear the word of God and live by it. So what then of the apple pie status of motherhood? Well, we must see it in perspective. Motherhood is certainly a great blessing. It is a great blessing for the children, by and large. I'm sure most of us thank God for our mothers and for all that they are doing for us or did do for us. Motherhood is also a great blessing for the mother, despite the daily grind and the worry and the sleepless nights and everything that goes with it. Yes, it is a blessing. And some of the mothers have testified to that this morning. We should most certainly thank God for our mothers. And it is good that society still sees fit to honour them by the setting aside of today. But, and it is a very big but, we should not think that parenthood is the ultimate blessing, for there is something much greater. For some think that without being a mother, that their lives will be empty. There are those who think that with it you will have everything there is. And so some mothers and fathers for that matter, and we can extend it also to grandparents, their whole lives are lived for their children or for the grandchildren. But if that is your life, then you are missing out on life as it is meant to be lived. And along the way, you will receive a great disappointment, whether it be by experiencing the empty nest syndrome, or by your children not living up to your expectations, or by countless other ways. If you live your life solely for your kids, you will not find satisfaction ultimately. And if you live your life in order to please your parents, then that is a great tyranny ultimately. The Bible certainly tells us that God wants us to honour our parents. There is much more that God wants. True blessing comes when we hear the word of God and do it. Without that blessing, we will fail our mothers, and we will fail as mothers, because it is only with life lived in that perspective, with living one's life for God, that we can rightly live as mothers and rightly honour our own mothers. As Jesus says, as we read in Matthew's Gospel, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The way that we get right with God is not pleasing our mothers, but by accepting what the Lord Jesus did for us and by turning away from our old way of life of sin. And whether that be the obvious sins that most of society condemns, or the much more subtle sin of living life for one's family and having family as God, no matter how we have rebelled, we all need to repent and turn back to the God who gave us life and gave us the gift of parenthood, if we have been given that gift. And once we have repented, to go on and living our lives for Him. In the words of a familiar old hymn, Christ is the solid rock on which we are to stand. All other ground, including family, is sinking sand. Will you pray with me? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of motherhood. And we thank you for the godly example of Mary. We pray that we might remember that as blessed as she was, that the greater blessing is for those who hear the word of God and do it. Help each of us to come to a true evaluation of family. May each of us examine our hearts and ask, do we live our lives for the Lord Jesus or for ourselves and our families? Help each of us to put you first so that our family life can be put in its right perspective. Forgive us for not honouring you as we ought. Help each of us now to live for you. We pray also at this time for those who struggle because of the inability to have children. May you be their strength and comfort. We pray too for those who have lost children, that you will be present with them in their sorrow. And we pray for those who have lost their mothers, that again they might know your presence. And we pray for those who are single and would long to be married and have the opportunity to have children, that you will grant them godliness with contentment. And we ask for all of us who might struggle in our role as parents or children, that we, in serving you, might bring honour to your name in how we act. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. If you would like to know more about the Christian life,